So Andy, can you present your patient?
Sure. So this was a patient from practice about 3 months ago. She was 87-year-old female, came up from Connecticut, has actually had a second opinion at Memorial, and then came out to UMass, where I was at the time. So she had, it was complex in that she had advanced stage mixed cellularity Hodgkin lymphoma. It was EBV positive. But the difficulty was, is there was a significant delay in the diagnosis. Someone along the way in primary care had started steroids. They thought it was an inflammatory issue. She had had some pruritus and other symptoms, fever, that maybe not surprisingly got better, but frankly went almost 6 months before the point where she received just any oncologic opinion. She was an 87-year-old that was incredibly active, would go to her house on the Cape every other weekend. But after this, I think 6 months of really protracted diagnosis, by the time we had met her, she was almost wheelchair bound. And it was presumed likely due to disease. She had some comorbidities, coronary artery disease, but no recent angina, diabetes, hypertension, had a prior history of squamous cell carcinoma that was resected and currently as NED from that standpoint. So we were somewhat vexed just in general, an over 80-year-old with Hodgkin lymphoma, prior vibrant, now fairly debilitated.
So Chris, this lady shows up in your clinic. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so I think anytime you're facing older patients and patients that have significant comorbidities, you need to take those comorbidities into concern and to determine whether or not she's an appropriate candidate for chemotherapy. It sounds like, in your opinion, that she's right on the borderline of being an appropriate candidate, but probably would benefit from some chemotherapy-based approach. It can be very difficult to give ABVD in many of these older patients. CHOP has been explored in this situation and something that I've used in older patients. Given her cardiovascular comorbidities, that may or may not be an option for her, and so I would explore that a little bit further, either in consultation with cardiology or just by doing an echo alone. The other regimen I've used in these older patients is a regimen called CHLVPP, which is an oral agent of chemotherapy, and that can be used in some of these older patients.
We were talking before, you know, putting aside reimbursement issues, about bevacizumab up front. What about that in this lady?
I'm still a little bit less inclined to use it in the upfront setting. It's something, like was mentioned earlier, if she failed an upfront regimen, that I'd very quickly use it as a second line therapy.
So John, what would you be thinking about with this lady?
I think a similar list. I think I've often, you know, thought about CHOP chemotherapy, but I think in the brentuximab vedotin era, I don't think I've ever seen somebody who's 87 with Hodgkin. I mean, I think a lot of the elderly patients I've been confronted with are patients in their earlier 70s where chemotherapy probably could be tolerated. It's just a question of which regimen. And I think at age 87, one would have to think a little bit about trying brentuximab vedotin as a single agent. I mean, it's true there isn't a lot of data yet. Fortunately, we have this trial open, which she would be a perfect candidate for.
So what were you thinking, Andy?
So further, fortunately, we also have a clinical trial for frontline elderly Hodgkin lymphoma that looks at a little different strategy. A group of us across the U.S. were looking about, it wasn't really framed for an 87-year-old, which any patient over age 60. And we were looking at, instead of the concurrent brentuximab vedotin, we were looking to try to bring that frontline. We're giving it as a sequential strategy. And so interestingly, we're phrasing it a window study where we're giving two doses of brentuximab vedotin, then restaging. And we decided on, although there's a lot of debate and disagreement, that AVD, in other words, ABVD without the bleomycin for six cycles was the standard, and then followed by four doses of consolidation brentuximab vedotin. So that study is ongoing, and obviously we weren't super enthusiastic regarding the AVD, but at least it gave us an option to get to brentuximab vedotin. And we thankfully built into the study, if patients at PI's discretion had to come off chemotherapy, they could still go on to receive the four consolidative doses. So she went on study, and she did okay with the brentuximab vedotin, had a little neuropathy, had, I wouldn't call it urosepsis, but had a UTI.
Neuropathy then, after two doses?
She had some pre-existing diabetic neuropathy. I think that was part of the issue there. It was mild. It wasn't dose-limiting in any fashion. Went on to the AVD, and maybe not surprisingly, had an incredibly hard time. Had borderline sepsis with cycle one, day one. Delayed it 4 weeks until day 15, cycle one, and then had cardiomyopathy where she had a huge drop from 60 to 45%, had some slight heart failure. So she has come off chemotherapy, and I saw her 2 weeks ago. She received her second of the consolidation doses. And I can tell you her PET scan, it got a little off. She was supposed to have a PET scan after the two cycles, but she was coming back and forth from Connecticut, had an admission, but at least after the two brentuximab and the chemotherapy, she was in a CR.
CR.
And she's much more mobile, not back to where she was 6-8 months ago, but markedly improved.
And how much chemo did she actually get?
So just two doses. Basically a day one and a day 15 of cycle one.
Mike, any thoughts about this case?
No, I mean, you sort of have to tiptoe around an 87-year-old with this. So, you know, we've used approaches similar to what Chris talked about. I think the Clavip regimen was you guys developed
in
Nebraska.
I don't know that we developed it, but we published on it.
Yeah. Well, the first time I saw it had you guys' names on it. So anyway, so we have used that in older patients. It's non-anthracycline based. It's mostly oral. You can adjust the doses pretty easily. So we've used that in a, you know, sort of the unusual advanced age patient who could tolerate it. You know, bevacizumab is appealing. If she could get to Rochester, I'd send her to Jonathan for his study. But, you know, if she didn't tolerate or didn't respond well to the initiation of something like a Clavip regimen, then I would consider certainly going to that earlier rather than later.
Just out of curiosity, do the patients have to come to you to get on that study, John?
It's open in several centers across the state, but yeah, because of IRB rules and drug distribution and so forth, we can't even really share that with our community physicians, which is really unfortunate because historically there were times when we could really partner on these trials, and we can't do that anymore.
So you have to deliver the treatment yourself?
Deliver the treatment and all the assessments because we're really responsible for those protocol-based features.
Interesting.
Neil, the only note of caution I would give, I don't think there's a right answer outside of brentuximab vedotin, what is the best treatment regimen. I would just always provide caution with bleomycin in this age group, especially over 70, and you can argue over age 60. We had a retrospective look back from a Chicago series, and then we looked at it in the E2496 Stanford 5 ABVD. For over age 60, not 70, just over age 60, the incidence was 25 to 30% of bleomycin lung toxicity, and then the mortality rate, depending on which series, was 20 to 30%. And so it's just one that you hate to drop a drug a priori, but I think in elderly, especially as you get over 65, 70, I just would drop it and not include it. At worst, follow very closely, clinically and possibly with DLCO PFTs.
I'm kind of curious, just looking at this lady nowadays, is she sicker than when she started out from the beginning or less sick?
Oh, no, she's much better. She's much better. She's not back to baseline. I'd say maybe 50% back. At least I didn't meet her at her pre-Hodgkin's lymphoma diagnosis. But I think part of the problem is she was on steroids for about 5 months. So she had the horrid steroid myopathy that she still is recovering from. But she is now ambulatory, where when we met her, she was wheelchair bound. So she's walking with a walker. She's making it back to the Cape. And I mean, that's really what she wanted to do, was frankly stay alive and spend time with her grandkids.